Oh, I was waiting for something there that never came. Okay, this is Mark Stanton Welch. This is Tools for the Times, and we are on Block 4, Session 4, Part 2. This is the nature of abundance, prosperity, and manifestation. This is the 29th of March, about ready to step into the blessed month of April. Here we are in the springtime, and I hope it's being delightful to you. We were actually on the call last night, last week, on the tail end of spring, and now we're actually beginning to experience it. We had one of the coldest days we've had in a long time here for the last, actually cold spells, the last 2 days out here. Today the sun is shining, the waves are big, and there's a chill in the air. Maybe the earth is just going to forget about spring and summer and go right to fall again. Maybe we need that. I don't know. I don't know what it's like where you are. But the process of manifestation, it's always interesting to look at it, because long ago in one of the sessions we had about the earth as Gaia, we began to see and to get new information, especially coming through the work of the channel Kryon, about the nature of the relationship between humans and the earth plant, the earth itself, herself, as the living being Gaia, that she was designed to reflect the inner state of the humans who inhabited her. That there would be this beautiful reflection, not necessarily beautiful, but this very profound and quick reflection of the inner nature in the inner capacity or the inner state of humanity in general. And we begin to see it in the changing patterns. We begin to see it in how things have shifted and how things have taken new forms. And that which is reliable and has been reliable and has been somewhat predictable is really in the process of change. To me, that is a beautiful sign. This has been an interesting one so far. What has been interesting about it is that on a very personal level, this has been one of the elements that has impacted my life from the point of incarnation. And because of that, it has a very profound importance on me, because it seems to be a thread that runs through all of the others. When we look at this last block four and how we're really delving into some very, very important issues that we as humans have in the current forms and in the forms of the past, when we look at the idea of relationship, when we look at the idea of health, and then we look now into the idea of abundance, specifically through the vehicle of money and prosperity and manifestation, I begin to see, and especially in these last elements, about how it is so necessary to have the foundation of principle that we've established, to have created a foundation of new awareness, these new perspectives for you to entertain, and hopefully to align with from your own inner self. I don't know what you've attached to. In other words, what you've connected to in all of these sessions that we've done, for those who have been a part of this from the very beginning. A whole lot of information has been given. And when you talk about the idea of manifestation, when you talk about the idea of abundance, as we're going to look at those specific principles tonight, at least the abundance one, you're going to see that every one of these sessions, and through the vehicle of what I was given, I gave great abundance. I played out the principle of abundance in the information that I gave, if it only in the sheer vast amount of things that I was giving. The amount of material that was written down, the amount of perspectives for you to entertain, to use as those triggers for reawakening, they were all there. We were playing this out, really, from the moment that it was the conception of the idea to the very first time we sat on a phone together. This journey has served in so many ways, not only you, hopefully, but in profound ways me. Because of what I have had to stand in, not had to, what I chose to stand in terms of giving birth to the ideas and trusting that what I was getting and giving and coming up with was worth sharing, and even though it may have been controversial or contrary to the old forms, that I was willing to stand it in any way and put it out there as if, for now, it was the gospel. And for me, it made such a huge difference in how I have personally shown up in the world and how my energy has evolved and changed and become something that is smoother and more balanced. And yet, as we enter this session on sessions, these sessions in four, the impact of them has been so much deeper and so much more profound. It is not just information to me. It is the loosening up of tendrils of the past, of decisions made, of ways taught, of things held on to that have steered me and directed me and knocked me off my feet and confused me and lied to me all through this particular incarnation in particular. And so as I began to immerse myself into what I asked you to do, I began to see in those questions that I put out and seemed to be so innocent in one hand contained seeds of awareness that I had not even touched upon. And so the importance of this one, because it threads through the relationships that we have in life, it threads through how we communicate and how we connect with others in terms of, in some ways, our own sense of abundance, our own sense of prosperity, our own sense of safety, the amount of money we have in the bank or resources available to do that which we desire to do. All these things, the idea of it begins to infiltrate into the notion of our health. Very idea that the sheer cost of health care, the putting dollars on the human life, that of course you're going to go into debt. The whole system of the way it's been set up, as we looked at it during that time, is based upon the idea of abundance, prosperity, and manifestation, but not from the place of the clarity and the understanding of the truth of what it is. It comes from the old paradigms of manipulation and control that we have been so successfully held under for so long. Has it been by choice? Of course it has. Because as we know, we all know the difference, and we all could have made a choice differently all along. Every single life that we incarnate in, we could have made a different choice. Yet on the other hand, were we really aware? Most likely not. And because the culture would brand anyone who is different or out of the norm or offered something that would inspire, they would brand them as a charlatan or brand them as a hoax or whatever you want to call it, a cult, you name it. They would disavow, no, that's not the word, they would discount and call it poppycock and call it lies and have websites designed to call it for what it is and to show all the flaws in it. All of these truths that when they were brought up we might have resonated with, but then we may have succumbed to the pressures to let them go and because just to be accepted or just to be a part of everything, just to be in the right camp, we decided to go along with things. Because, you know, it wasn't so bad. And by no means has this life been a bad life, even with all the stuff that has occurred, even with all the forms of what I keep branding as a Piscean model. All of these incarnations have been magical. All of them have been incredibly revelatory. They have revealed so much to the whole being that I have been through all of them. And to stand here at a time when we're actually beginning to be able to remember them all is a very profound thing. But underneath them all, as I looked at this idea of abundance and prosperity and money and how that is played out, I do see the thread that runs through everything, particularly in my life. And I can make a case for it running through all of our lives. Because so much of the experience and the quote-unquote enjoyment of our life is dependent upon the resources that we have with us and that we have available or that we can get access to. Because that's part of the programming. But during the hard times, we'll call them, places and times when the flow wasn't exactly coming my way but was going away from me more, I would find that there was so much beauty in experiencing just nature for what it is. that at those moments when I could pull myself away from fearful what-if thoughts about down the road and about what if this occurs and what if I don't have enough to do this, then what's going to happen? And then calling up all the experiences I had as a boy of the losses that occurred in those times, the losses related to resources and money and the way parental units did their dance with it and how it was perpetrated upon the children and how we all would experience it. We all have stories about it. It comes and goes. It's impacted us in so many ways. And yeah, there are those who were born into means. I have no idea what that's like. And then there were those who were born into abject poverty, who were not a part of the North American experience, who have incarnated into third worlds where the sheer amount of what's generated by the frickin' sale of a CD for me would get them through a month in their own culture. So boy, does it come down to perspective. It really comes down to perspective, and it keeps coming back to these things that have surfaced through our time together, this realization of the comfort zone and how it's such a seductive place and how it sort of numbed us to the realities of what's going on around us and offered this sort of sense of isolated protection that kept the world as much away from us as us from in it. What a cost. What a cost. And to be in that moment when, you know, the leaf finally surrenders and leaves the eddy and just floats down the stream to experience what it is to be completely free and let go. Wow. So, you know, the play and the dance we've had with resources and abundance and prosperity has been a mixed bag, at the very least. And I have to admit, and it's already coming through, and I've admitted it, and I've shared it, and half the time I'm almost in tears as I share some of this stuff. The impact has been very big on me. And I have used it and abused it, and I've created friendships and pushed people away, and I've used, and I've taken advantage of, and I was ignorant, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I thought I was doing my best. And I thought that I was damaged goods, and I thought that, why me, Lord? What did I do to deserve this? What have I done? I have danced with all of these places. I have been worn all of those clothes. I have said them all and probably owe so much more that I'm not even aware enough to reveal. And here I stand after 63 years of this, finally on the precipice of understanding. You know, it's never too old to understand. I recall when we studied the chakras and realized the cycle of seven that occurred with each one of those chakras, where the wisdom of the design would give us like endless opportunity, at least periodic opportunity, to touch again that which we were holding on to in relation to that chakra, another chance to cleanse and clear. And at the same time, it would open us up to new capacities as we move down to those chakras, that after age 56 and then 63 and then to 70 and 77 and then 84, as those ones opened up, we were given these profound gifts of understanding that were not even possible in the early days. So is the gift of longevity, is the gift of living long and prospering, thank you, Spock, is the gift that we just finally get a chance to begin to integrate what this place is about. Well, that's the way it used to be, and that's the way it seems to be sort of slowly moving along like the old Mississippi River. But it's also a time when we are being pushed and shoved out of those artificial comfort zones, those places so precious to us. We're being pushed to take and to absorb and to stand in and to be in and to live as and to live in our power, which is the true design. I've had some very profound awakenings over the last week. And I don't know, you can call it the the Christ essence. You can call it the resurrection time. You can go the Easter dance and realize that so much is going on when we survive the own crucifixions that we've done for ourselves and how we have lamented and torn ourselves up to rise above it all with a new awareness and understanding and get reborn into the moment and realize that, you know, we are so much more. And we are so much more capable than we have ever even allowed. It happens every year on one way or another, but for some reason this year has been really, really big to me and to others that I've talked to. There's been something about this particular Easter. Regardless of your religious persuasion, there's an opening and there's a revelation that occurs. And over in the esoteric literature, I read, you know, from channel this and channel that about the return of that Christ essence. And everybody keeps looking for a form. Everybody keeps looking for an ascended master to come back. Obviously not everybody, but in these circles they do. When all along it's just being reborn within us. And we keep going back to that essence of us, that pure design that is the Christ essence that is being called forth for rebirth in these times. And so for whatever reason, and I got 1,000 of them, whatever reason, we are here, and right now we're kind of mired in this energy of really grokking, really getting to, really understanding what abundance and prosperity and the process of manifestation mean to the very big picture. Because in it lies the foundation of the all that is. It is the source of the abundance. The prosperity is our willingness to accept it and to pull it in. I hesitate just because I heard our two calls leave, and I don't know, am I saying something weird? Or is it a process that you can't hear what I'm saying, or has the call failed? I don't know, but I will press on because it looks to me like things are still moving. It's a sensitive time. You were asked last week to take a new journey with me, to step into a kind of a backwards format where you were given a bunch of questions. And then you were to listen to these two CDs that you either downloaded or already had. Thank you very much. And just begin to immerse yourself in concepts that you probably could talk about, you probably know, and you probably apply. But the idea was to give you an immersion in all of that. That during the very process of unearthing your experience and your history and your past and whatever programming there was that you bought into around the idea of abundance and prosperity and manifestation, you were being sung to and you were singing out new truth, new ways of experiencing it. So essentially what we were doing was preparing the soil, tilling it, clearing it out. All these rocks and these weeds of my life. Here in this moment I'm finally letting it go. Let go, let go. And in the tilling of the soil we prepared and planted seeds. Every one of these calls is a seed planted. Grant me courage to go within, still my wandering mind, O Lord. Make fertile my heart, I want to be free. Return myself to me, O Lord, together planting the seed. Grant me courage to go within, and still my wandering mind, O Lord. Make fertile my heart, I want to be free. Return myself to me, O Lord, together planting seed. Every one of these songs, every one of them is a principle of application in the process. I make choices, I take action, I do it with love. So support it, universe with me, shower my dream with love. I open to this moment. Expect the best to be. Trust my inner guidance. Put action in my feet. I open to this moment. Expect the best to be. Trust my inner guidance. Put action in my feet. I am awakening out of the sleep, out of the dream. I am awakening into the moment, into the Christ that I am. I feel the power. I see the light. I walk with knowledge that I am. I am. I am divine. Yourselves cannot help but respond to these things, these words, these truths that they know, and to assist in the clearing out of anything that might stand in the way, to give you something that came out through the questions. I don't know what your experience was with the questions and working with them. If it was anything like mine, it was certainly a useful tactic. And by no means am I done. I made it halfway through the first section, and I'm going to keep working on them just as I ask you to. And I ask you tonight to go ahead and have with you some paper and pencil. Because although information is coming through tonight on some of these topics, it's also about still getting clear on the subtleties of how we have been distracted and diverted from remembering truly who we are and what the cost of that was. Because to move forth in the process of making manifest and creating the life that we deserve and desire, as I love to say, is that we have to continue to till the soil, clearing the rocks and the weeds out so that we can plant these seeds in fertile ground, if you want to use that idea. So tonight I'm going to look at, very specifically, reflections on abundance, reflections on prosperity, words, laws, and blocks, and the stuff and letting go elements of the topics there. And that will give us, I'm also going to revisit tools of diminishment. We have the questions for honest reflection. We have the original empowering statements that I'm going to really reinforce using, and we'll call upon some of those tonight. Next week, we'll look more specifically at the tools of manifestation and actually the balancing of the ages, the principles of the new paradigm, because these things aren't going to hold unless we can create the ground. And I guess that's why that picture of the lavender field in the farm is so balanced there at the top of the page, and the calling in of Lakshmi as the Hindu goddess of prosperity. And even those beautiful pictures along with the money tree at the bottom of the page there, everything was about recreating that fertile place within us, free of the debris, because it's almost like this is that one stick in whatever that game is, the tower game, where you pull out the bars, the little pieces of wood, and eventually the tower will collapse. But you find these ones where you have access to them, and you find the ones that holds the whole thing together. And I kind of believe, at least for me, and quite possibly for others, that this whole thing on abundance, prosperity, and manifestation is one of the seeds and one of the very pivotal points, because of how it plays out and how it has played out so significantly in our culture, in our families, in the way and the quality of our lives, in how we view ourselves, in how we support ourselves, in how we understand the dimension, and how we give away our power, all of this. In the recording, there's plenty for all. I'm referring a lot in these particular writings today and on the song Give In, Give Out, because it really holds some very important principle. And this idea came out of James Redfield's book, the one that came out in the late 80s and early 90s, Celestine Prophecy. this was one of the tenets, and one of the songs that I wrote for the CD, Wake Up, that when I presented to him this whole thing, thinking that he would be one who would run with it because it was so powerful, he said he wasn't interested. So be it. Welcome back, whoever that is. There's a never-ending river from a heaven pouring into us each day. If we close our eyes in ignorance or throw up our resistance, the river won't flow no way. So why not dredge that holy channel, make it deep, make it wide. Let the manna bring abundance to the heart of our lives. Give in, give out. Give in, give out. This is the song of principle. This is a song that contains a good portion of this very whole topic that we're talking about. As we look next week in the process of giving in first to be able to give out, to initiate the cycle that keeps feeding and seeding and making manifest the manna that pours from heaven in its pure substance form that we access and put in through principle and through put in through universal law into action to soften and to expand the experience of living in this dimension. I just kind of want to sing through the whole one tonight, but we're not going to. Let's go back open to reflections on abundance. The universe, the cosmos, the multiverse is the epitome of abundance. It is infinite, endless, composed of the very substance of creation out of which all form is made manifest. Somebody needs to star six because we're getting a bunch of little extra in-house noises on there. You don't need to. I'm sorry. I don't need to lord over everything here. But just if you haven't star six, please do so. Infused with an inexhaustible supply of the pure love vibration, it seeds the moments into the forms that fit the intentions of the life essence and the beings of all shapes and sizes. All right. Somebody's talking right now and talking to someone in the background. So if you wouldn't mind star sixing on that, that would be appreciated. The infinite, endless, composed of the very substance of creation, out of which all form is made manifest and infused with inexhaustible supply of the pure love vibration, it seeds the moments into the forms that fit the intentions of the life essence and the beings of all shapes and sizes. Read over that on your own. There's a lot there. Civilization is addicted to the principle of scarcity. And this is really critical. In a trance-like fear and numbness, most humans force their energies into acquiring, hoarding, and protecting stuff. The stuff is the external padding that diverts attention from the energetic debris that is tethered to the wounds of living over generations and incarnations. In an earth plane where abundance is everywhere in nature, man separates and makes things that are purported to make life easier. All they do is complicate the moments and distract the owner from feeling, clearing, understanding, and living. And aside from necessities, most of the possessions, the very word implies hoarding and treasuring and keeping others away and protecting and fighting and even killing possessions. They're of little use except to temporarily fill up the holes of loss and abuse and misunderstanding. Now there's more. They do make life more pleasant and allow us to move more comfortably through our moments, which we deserve. If one steps back from the whitewash and the avalanche of goods that are forced into our lives by the media pressure and the damaged self-esteem of the masses, then one starts to notice that nature provides and serves and that the cosmos is teeming with all that one could ever need. But to do so takes a conscious, very conscious choice that up until now, few are willing, really willing or capable of doing. Abundance is about allowing and embracing and engaging the flow. Simply put, The vibration of life constantly provides enough. There always is enough. No matter what the form appears to be, it is a mind game that activates the divine laws, though they are in play 24/7. The mind can steer the energy into any direction and form it chooses. And it does so seemingly randomly at first, as if life just shows up and forces us to engage. Nothing is further from the truth, however. The I am that I am expressing as you is the pilot of the co-creation, using substance to make that which is desired. The abundance of raw love vibrational energy assures that all forms can be created. So we're getting the sense underneath this is that, one, abundance is about the flow, that it is existing 24/7. It is bound by the laws of the cosmos, which we've looked at before, and we'll look at again in direct application to what we're dealing with tonight and in these sessions. And we realize that the I am that we are expressing is a mighty, mighty co-creator of the forms of how life shows up for us. It is not a random act. It is not a victimization of us based upon mistakes we've made in the past. It is more about a loving opportunity to keep remembering who we are and to reawaken so that we can act consciously in that frequency. There is no lack in the cosmos. There is only abundance. And yet, are we taught to even entertain that as possibility? One must step out of believing in scarcity and lack. This starts by paying attention to the natural world where, again, abundance is one of the most visible elements if one looks. The sand on the beach, the trees in the forest, the blades of grass, the flowers in the fields, the raindrops falling, the molecules of water in the ocean, the stars in the sky, the insects in a swarm, the birds in a murmur, the amount of snow that fell on Denver and the Rockies over that last weekend. On and on the examples go. See abundance to engage abundance and then live abundantly. Affirm through observation that the dimension thrives. Celebrate the myriad of forms and sing about the ever-changing river of flow and build the muscles of endurance and then activate the awareness to wash through the energy of money to access the tools for a more peaceful life. There really is enough for everybody to live a beautiful life. The focus has to change. And understand, as we see over this session and next week's session, is that it is a process. Because we are still bound by physical law and still in a physical body, things take time and they take space to make manifest. But we are basically building the muscles of the capacity to be profound manifestors. And in doing so, we then are given the keys to the kingdom that allow us to really live the expanded life. The new times are bringing new awareness that is being seeded in every human on a deep level to move from the inside out to eradicate the trance of scarcity. The fear is being replaced as the energetic debris is released. The truth of the love vibration then replaces that which was to establish fertile substance in which to build the desired forms. Removing the trance reveals the greater abundance that is there for all to engage. And then again I say, there's a never-ending river from heaven pouring into us each day. If we close our eyes and throw up our resistance, if we close our eyes in ignorance and throw up our resistance, the river won't flow no way. So why not dread that holy channel, make it deep, make it wide. Let the manna bring abundance to the heart of our lives. Give in, give out. So abundance is an understanding that the design of the plane in which we live and actually the entire cosmos is based upon the notion that there is more than enough for everyone. Let's reflect on prosperity. Prosperity is a state of being prosperous, having enough to meet the needs of the moment of living, as really applied to your personal circumstance. It involves an understanding and a conscious relationship with the principle of abundance. Prosperity is, in truth, a state of consciousness, an energy projected outward to activate universal principle and law to make manifest by intention. It is being fully in alignment with your soul self. It is being fully aligned with your soul self. So abundance as a foundation, abundance based on the frequency, the pure frequency of love, as the substance of all creation, it shows up as abundance in the myriad of forms that we look out and see that includes you and me and the trillions of cells that exist within us and the molecules and the very atoms that are the substance that create the form temporarily that we're in. Being aware of abundance then gives us an opportunity to see prosperity. In other words, whatever we need, whatever we desire in terms of whatever is necessary for us to sustain the frequency of the I am that I am expressing in you is always and readily available to you if you know where to look and how to make the call. Historically, prosperity has become a polarizing posture that separates the haves and the have-nots. With that separation, that in many ways has become a manipulative tool of force, greed, and Piscean power, there they are again, prosperity is equated with accumulation of stuff, goods, and money primarily. Prosperity from the spiritual perspective and an alignment with the divine design that fills us all is our birthright. Born into a dimension and a plane and an environment that will nourish us and provide all that we need bequeaths us a level of prosperity that money cannot buy. To become prosperous, one must release the misperceptions and the energetic debris attached to the forced belief of limitation and hierarchy. Prosperity is not just for the few. It is not the vehicle of controlling others and amassing obscene amounts of money, goods, and power. It is not the purpose for living, nor is it the substance that will fill the holes and the wounds of living, despite all the press that it will do so. Clearing the history will allow the true substance and energy of prosperity to sprout from within and blossom forth in higher frequency thoughts, beliefs, and actions, bringing forth the aligned forms, the good life that each deserves. Prosperity is fed by the knowing and the application that there is enough for all. There is no scarcity, and each has the capacity to take what you need and freely give the rest away. The choice to be prosperous is a shift in belief and a willingness to live as if until the forms show up. And we'll see in the process of actually making manifest that living as if is a very, very useful tool. And we do it until it shows up. Those are leaps of faith, they're called. Changing inner perspectives changes the frequency of the manifesting. Okay, it changes the frequency of the manifesting you do to magnetize different results that bless your now and the next moment. If you see prosperity everywhere and be prosperous in your every thought and action, no matter the current form before you, freeing the inner self from the chin's black. That is a great image. I think it's supposed to be the chains of lack, but the chins of lack. I like that. Okay, from the chains of lack will make manifest your personal destiny and set in motion by your conscious choice to not only incarnate, but weed through the misinformation, the subterfuge, the misdirections that have been a part of human life for far too long. Live long and prosper. Accept the gifts of life. They have always been yours. Wake up, precious one. The fairies have arrived. So we begin to see here that prosperity is a process that we adopt once we understand that we are built upon the loving frequency that is the foundation of abundance. And through our attitude of prosperity, we are able to mold and use these energies out of the soup of abundance to make manifest the very forms that we intend that will bring to us a clearer and a more high-frequency experience of the dimension. So, let's go out of that, and we'll go to the empowering statements, if you will. Oh. For whatever reason, mine aren't there. And probably yours aren't either. Let me republish that. So in the meantime, take a breath. And actually go ahead and get your pencil and paper handy, because there's something I'm going to want you to do. I'm going to invite you to do. As I began to look into my own history of working with around the idea of abundance, prosperity, and specifically money and how it played out in my life, I began to become aware of my particular preferred tools of sabotage. See, the idea of sabotage is to interfere with the flow of things, to influence the result. As I carried certain energies and beliefs about myself based upon the learnings, if you will, the experiences I had, and the decisions to survive, I decided that certain things had to be so. If they didn't turn out the way that I had decided, then it would really F up my world. And for a little boy who relies upon the reliable, which is basically his decisions about how to survive, something turning out differently is not embraced well. It throws a wrinkle in a wrench in the works, it's called. It throws a wrench in the works. I had to become aware, and painfully so, of the ways I shot myself in the foot. One of the more profound things I did from a very early age, and this was a really important learned behavior because it got me here, was to do magical thinking. Magical thinking allows me to stay in the Peter Pan state of the world. It allows me to not take responsibility for something that I don't understand or feels overwhelming. So I magically think it to not be so. One way as an adult that I did that, was to not pay attention to stuff. I very quickly adopted and jumped into the idea, well, the universe provides, which is based on truth. But the way I used it was to use it as an excuse for not taking action, which in the big picture, as we shall see, is quite counterproductive. So because I wouldn't take action based upon the facts of what was going on, I would act as if things weren't really happening. And I learned this growing up. I learned this when the sheriff came to the door to repossess the house. And I had to answer. What the hell was I answering for? Because the parental unit didn't want to deal with it. Okay, so I got a big learning at that point when they came in. But I couldn't understand or even, you know, in any way attempt to embrace the occurrence of what was happening. So I just acted as if it wasn't occurring. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have the skills or the tools. I would magically think away the events that were occurring and separate myself from the impact of them. Now, that involves a very, very creative inner world to not pay attention to anything that's really going on the outside. And in so doing, what I did was create a little self-imposed eddy where I could just go round and round and round and round and go, no, 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 no. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to taste it. None of that. But the way I played it out in my further adult life, I think I attempted to say that, but I got waylaid back in the old days, is that I wouldn't notice when certain things were due. When certain bills were due, and I wouldn't know, I would not pay attention to how much it was because I didn't want to know because I knew I didn't have it, and I didn't want the stress. And so I would convince myself that my stress level was that it wasn't happening, and so I was not even aware of the depth of what was underneath that and how unnerving it was, because I was ignoring the obvious. And so it eat away at my viscera. And I, you know, would have certain levels of anxiety, and then it would all come to head on the day that I would actually have to go ahead and find out what was true, and then I'd find out the truth, and that moment in time would be either, oh, thank you, God, or, fuck! And I played that out for a long time, well into my 50s. Because really what it came down to is there were only a couple times a month where I had to step out of the magic of everything. Because I really truly believed that the cosmos was providing, and it was. The cavalry always showed up, and at the end of the day, at the end of the month, something was always there. The universe showed up. But what I was doing was really realizing that I was really sabotaging my own sense of things. My own understanding of things for the sake of not feeling discomfort for most of the month. It doesn't feel necessarily great to be revealing stuff like this over the phone, but how else are we going to recognize that, you know, on one, I'm living out the very things I'm asking you to consider to be a part of your life. And the idea that, boy, we all are impacted by all of these things. And honestly, unless I drop it into the bowl of awareness and say, yeah, that was me and those are choices I made, I have no chance whatsoever of doing something different. So these tools, these awarenesses are so important. Okay, so what all this was leading to, apologies for the waylay on that, was to begin to take your pencil and paper right there and just very quickly jot down, if any, ways that you have a tendency to sabotage the results for you. Let's say you have an intention and you really want it to happen, and that there are certain things that you find yourself doing, and you could probably say over and over, no matter what the intention is, that you find yourself diverted from your task, finding ways to not show up, finding ways to not pay attention, all of that kind of stuff. So maybe something comes to mind as a result of what I had shared, and maybe not. But just take a moment doing that, and I'm going to go ahead and republish this empowering statements page.
I don't know why, but for some reason.
Okay, I'm hearing somebody, they just went, I don't know why, but okay. So whoever that is, would you star 6? Okay. So, I'll be back in just a moment. You can go ahead and see if that will work for you. Come up with some ways that you've sabotaged, if possible. We want to clear the air. We want to put everything on the table here as much as possible. Okay, why don't you wrap that up? And right now, that's just information for you. That's something you can pay attention to. And honestly, the more clear we get, the more we're able to look at things and decide whether they serve us or not. I'm not saying that my magical thinking is a horrible thing all the time. At some points, it brings me great joy and great bliss, and I still get things done, and I still show up in very powerful ways. But around this one thing, I have to really pay attention because I don't want to keep doing that. And so I have really brought myself and been retraining, and it's still in process, myself to pay attention all through the month on a regular basis of what is going on so I don't have surprises. At least surprises that that I'm not able to do anything about. So thank you for doing that. Now I would like you, again, I'm in the process now of attempting to put out those empowering statements. Let me do the one thing. So let's go to this tools of diminishment again, the things that I brought up as some vehicles that behaviors, et cetera, that get in the way. And I'll be right there. I'm actually publishing the page right now, the empowering statements. Okay, so there that goes. Now back to the tools of diminishment. Now last week, I don't know if this list was actually up. I think it wasn't, but I had put it here. And the thing that occurs when we're in the process of clearing the slate for making manifest and using the principles to their best capacity is that we have some behaviors, we have some ways of doing things that are actually very diminishing and they contract energies instead of expanding. When we work in manifestations, it's about expanding and sending energy out from a place of clarity within. And if we have old thinking, if we have behaviors, old beliefs, old energies in the way, then literally what we're doing is we're contracting and thus interrupting the flow. So just to start the list, I said judgment, self-judgment, or judgment of others is a really strong way that we contract, withholding, believing in scarcity, hoarding, resisting, etc. What I would like you to do is just on your piece of paper there is go through and see if you can find five things. Now, you don't have to if you're not, but go through there and see if you can find five that are tools that you have a tendency up till now to have used, to relied upon, to actually think it's not a bad idea at all. Maybe you'll find some information there. So please go ahead and do that and put up just do five if you can. And again, if you aren't able to, so be it. Then you're in a clearer and more expansive state. Okay, so do that. All right. Okay, about one more minute on this. Okay, for me, as I look, just to be transparent about this, most of mine showed up that I have relied upon down towards the bottom of the list. One of them was just a complete unawareness of the idea of stress in my life. And for most of my life, I had no clue that how much there actually was. To the point that I recall, and this is an interesting nature of the way things have been occurring lately for me, I had an email recently from a woman that I had been dating way back in the late 70s, early 80s, and we had a fairly short relationship, but she was the younger sister of the school counselor, the psychologist that was in the school where I was teaching school. And I was in my mid-20s, and we had a short relationship. It was during that time that I was playing basketball in the faculty team, and then I started having heart palpitations. And at that point, when I had the heart palpitations, it was disturbing enough, because I'd never experienced such a thing, that I decided to go to the hospital, and this young woman went with me. And what it did was open up... That's when I went to the doctor, and I thought, this was the end of my life. It's all over. And I see the white in the emergency room, and this was it. And then the doctor looks down at me, and he says, "Do you have any stress in your life?" I said, what do you mean, stress? No, I'm 25 years old, and I'm having fun, teaching, et cetera. Got this nice girlfriend, and she was right there, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, "Well, you got some stress that's starting to show up here, so just want you to monitor that." So what that did was begin the opening of my heart chakra and to begin to allow me to start processing all of the grief and the wounds that I had not paid any attention to, that I had hidden and tucked away with my little child in our comfort zone. But the interesting thing is that this week, when I received that email from this person, it triggered the memory of that, and I started having heart palpitations. The very things that I had long ago, and I haven't had them at all for a long, long time. So it triggered and re-woke, it opened up another level of what was underneath that, only because I'm ready to deal with it. Now, is it easy to embrace? No, my mind's going all over the place, but principle keeps winning out, and I keep sitting with it and watching as it comes and goes through the subtleties of the thoughts that I'm having as well as the things that I'm feeling. So I'm able to refine through witnessing this. So the stress one, the other one is back to the old lack of value, that I just needed acceptance. That was one that I played out. I never got to be a victim. I did want to be rescued. That played out a lot. Filling in the blanks, I was a master. I became a master because that I grew up in a home where there wasn't a lot of information about the truth of what was going on shared. So I would just witness and watch and then make decisions about how it was and then live as if until I got further information, which usually never came. Seeking and needing approval. I wrote a song somewhere in the 80s. About everything I did was really that I was sending out to everybody else was really just asking for, people to love me. Yeah, that was a big deal in my life because it was nothing that I had seemed to get in the early days, so I wanted everybody to be able to give it to me. And the sad thing is that I didn't know what to do with it when I got it. So more than likely, I would just push it away. See, these old ways were so self-serving and they were so insidious in a sense because they were about me surviving. So I didn't have the capacity or the skills to know how to work with them or underneath them. This list of tools for diminishment is in some ways a gold mine for you to find out what it is that you have used to delay your own opening and awareness. So I invite you, and I will bring up in the additional activities some other ways to work with that. But for now, let's go to stuff and letting go. And we'll look at this one. As I sit here amidst my four-room place that's packed with stuff. There'll be more on that in the upcoming week as I start to look at things in a very, very different light. But for now, in current and long-standing Piscean cultures and civilization, abundance and prosperity has been about the accumulation of stuff, goods, power, control, status, beauty, desirability, etc. Society is built upon the foundation of learning how to make a living to allow you to live the American dream or the life of plenty. Your schooling, your relationships, your choices, your actions, your life, all in step with the accumulation of something to make it all worthwhile, to make you worthy to have a good life. The cost of such action is painfully obvious. Disillusionment, dis-ease, bankruptcy, suicide, broken homes, failed businesses, despair, insanity, poverty, isolation, unfulfillment, greed, and maybe new creeds, hatred, resentment, torn friendships, distrust, killing. You get the picture. The original incarnational woundings of separation from source and loss of the perfect home when we left the mother put unfillable holes in the souls of all who arrive here. And reawakening to the inner knowing about the true nature of things and then choosing to act differently are several of the missions of living on Earth. We have been taught to use substance to fill the holes from the outside. That quickly translated into gathering things, buying things, hoarding things, and dying with things. Too much. The culture feeds and rewards acquisition at the expense of understanding and applying true principle. Advertising, social pressure, the media, presentation, and brainwashing of what a real man or woman child looks like, wears and has as a seductive device to remind us all that we are less than. The force feeding of limitation and flaw and original sin leaves most feeling hopeless. The honk of the UPS and the FedEx truck that delivers the next temporary fix, I tell you, that's what I've lived on. It's like Christmas every day when they show up, at least for a while it was. I've gotten a handle on that. The panacea for the sense of nothing is the sound of the times. You buy it and you'll be happy. If I just work long enough, then I will have... Why can't I get... They don't deserve it more than me. What has become the worst expression and fascination with stuff is a reality show called Hoarders that invades and sensationalizes the ones who have gathered all this stuff and are now controlled and overwhelmed by the mountains of stuff that they have gathered. I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, you can't even get through their houses. There's so much stuff. Now, I was a school teacher, and as an elementary school teacher, we were kind of taught by circumstance and also designed that everything had a use in the classroom. So, you know, a cup that, you know, a plastic cup you're ready to throw out is a paint holder. Heck yes. So you stuff it and store it somewhere, you know, popsicle sticks. You name it, pipe cleaners, not that anybody uses those anymore, but all of those things had a purpose. It was kind of cool, but after a while, you end up with just tons of stuff, unless if you leave teaching, then you got to do something with it. The culture feeds and rewards acquisition. Okay, I said that. The worst expression as the hoarders. And then the sad thing about that show is it points fingers and makes fun of when all the time it doesn't explore what's underneath it and the purpose for doing it. And it said how extreme we think, and yet how close we all are to that cliff. The outer will not fill the whole of the inner wounds. That is the law of a deeper kind. Self-love is the salve that makes well and whole again. It is in remembering the power of non-attachment and letting go that we find the true respite from the habit trail of excess. To let go is to release the connection and thus the control a thing, person, or situation has over us. A spiritual principle that implies surrender, which is defined as losing and weakness. Letting go is a powerful choice indeed. See, it's important to know that the idea of surrender and letting go is really not looked upon keenly by the Piscean model or society as a whole. Surrender is to be captured. Surrender is to give up. In this way, letting go and surrender are about being in a powerful state of being non-attached to the form as well as the outcome. The energetic cost of stuff is that it weighs us down on multiple levels. At the point of purchase, the energy we held is fused into material of the item or situation, and it impacts us from that point forward. Did you realize that? Whatever state of mind we made that emotional purchase, the one that was designed to fill up the woundings, that frequency is held in that, and every time we get around it, every time we play with it, every time we access it and use it and put it into our presence, that energy is fed back to us, and the principles and the laws of the cosmos will then jump into place and bring more of the same to us. We will see that we can consciously do things to shift the energy of, yes, these very objects that were bought under those frequencies. But this is an important point to know about. And we wonder why stuff often feels the way it does around us. It's energy. Oftentimes we feel so tied to things that they are akin to the ball and chain or the ball and chin. Energetic cords are set into place and they diminish the frequencies of wholeness that are the truth of our being. We forget who we are and are blinded by the lure of the next big thing. And the next big thing, God, I just hear that all the time in the electronics industry. There was a time with synthesizers and keyboards that when I was beginning to buy them and play them, every 6 months they had a new one that came out. And I would drive faithfully with my little school paycheck and go down and spend $1,000 in those days on the latest and greatest keyboard. And it was all about the acquisition of it. It was all about getting it. It was like, yeah, look at me, man. I'm so good because I can afford it. I must be very successful. And then I get it home and I put it in the rack and I would look at it and go, God, those look great. Did I play them? Well, a little bit, but did I really immerse myself in them? Not for years. Interesting. Interesting it was. To hold on, no, it says let go. Let go. The call from the inner wild. Release the hold that the thing has and free yourself to re-enter the flow. Leaves floating blissfully downstream to reunite with the oneness soup, trusting of the magnificent design of the dimension and of life itself. That's what letting go is. To hold on is to resist, to constrict, to clutch. Monkeys have been trapped in the past by digging a shallow hole big enough for the monkey to put a hand into it. Place a banana in there, the monkey clutches it, trying to pull it out results in the entrapment, for the monkey will not let go. Force does not create the result. The letting go does. We're being asked by the higher frequency energies of these beautiful, challenging, confrontive times, tomes, to let go of holding on. The truth is revealed in the effortlessness of the flow, yet we hold on. We live in clutter. We live on holding on. We hold on to the old thoughts. We blame others for the past. We hold resentments and angers and fears and experiences we had with whatever. And we seed the future with the debris of what we've been instead of jettisoning it and then floating downstream to all that lies waiting with open arms. So take inventory about what is important. It is all about the flow of energy. Holding on restricts and blocks and calls forth all that is attached to it. Continues to serve us by holding us back and attracting the same old experiences, same old people, same old situations, same old things. For what? In the name of the damn comfort zone, we waste away behind the good old days and ways while life just whirls all around us. Let go. Value yourself and begin the tossing, the giving away. And I, my friends, am talking to me. I recently had a mouse come and visit me. He didn't just visit, he decided to move in. Cutest things on earth. And I told him, I said, hey, 3 days you got, you have to leave. I'm not going to tolerate you after that. And if so, I'll have to take desperate measures, which basically means you're going to get snuffed. So, 3 days came and went. So I put some traps out. Day one went by. There was no sound in the night except the nibbling and all those things that happen in the dark of night that wake one up. during the day, I went and I started looking into all the places that I hadn't looked at for 20 years, and I started cleaning out the debris and cleaning out the energies that were in it and all the dust and dust bunnies. And, oh, there that is. I wonder where that was. All those things. I took four of my treasured spots and cleared them out. Dang, did that feel good. And still the mouse was there. And then when I was actually getting used to the idea, you know what? Maybe the mouse is here to teach me. I looked, and the mouse meant looking at detail. Oh, geez. Well, thanks for that reminder, my friend. And then in the whole process of starting to go, God, what a great thing, this mouse. I hear in the background a snap and a fluttering. And the mouse had gotten caught into one of the traps. And then I took that, I just freaked out. I totally freaked out because I haven't killed anything since I was like 4 years old with a BB gun and a bird. And when I shot that little bird, he came down and landed right at my feet, bleeding from a hole in his chest and looking right at me. And since that moment, unless it's a mosquito, I haven't killed a thing. And then here's this little mouse. And I go over and, was he dead? No. So I picked it up. I don't know. I just have to tell you this story because these are all relevant to this process. I picked him up. I just was like a little boy. My hands were shaking in front of me, flipping back and forth. And I go, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I was in tears with this little mouse. And I eventually just, I had to take him out and then, you know, finish the deed. And then wrapped him up and put him into the trash can. Was I profoundly affected by that? Yes, in many ways. But in relationship to hoarding and not paying attention, that was a very strong lesson that he gave his life for. Walk through every room in your external world and be ruthless about getting... No, wait a minute, where am I? We were being asked by the higher frequency energies of the beautiful, challenging, confrontive times. I've done that. Take inventory. Got it. Let go. Walk through every room in the external world and the roof. Be ruthless about getting rid of your trash is another's treasures. Your stuff that has been unused for so long can be just what another is yearning for. Give it away and activate the most potent of prosperity tools, the circle of giving and receiving. You must make room for the flow to happen. The universe fills a vacuum space with higher frequency intentional form. If you create the space and then allow, you send commands through your actions. Make room, make space. Make time for you. Clear out the inner debris as well. Holding on to old thinking and patterns is so counterproductive, even dis-ease producing. Remember that you do not really need a whole bunch to have a good life. Possessing information, know-how, and understanding is far more valuable than most of the junk that lines our inner and outer shelves. Nothing is worth the hoarding anymore, never was. The new energies will not allow the old forms. Hoarding will fall away because we energetically cannot resonate with it anymore. Like a thorn in the side, we'll find ourselves scaling down to expand the joy quotient, the capacity to embrace the simple in life. And in that simple will be revealed the most potent of experiences. Reunification with the natural design will serve to preserve resources and affirm that the earth is a beautiful being worth enjoying, not worth exploiting. Release the emotions unexpressed. Say the words. Cry the tears. Throw the stones. Say goodbye. Forgive yourself and others. Move on. Appreciate. Be grateful. Embrace all of life. For God's sakes, man, just let go. Whew. Big stuff. I don't know if this was in one of those questions. But on your paper and pencil, just very quickly, if three things come to mind, it says, what do you want to change right now? What do you want to change? Be decisive. Be clear on what it is that you're putting out there. Three things. We got 1 minute to do it. All right, let's wrap that up. Let's move on now back to that empowering statement, since I've got it going. If you click on it and it still shows a 404 where it's not posting, right-click in that frame, and you'll find towards the bottom, if you're on a PC, it says Reload Frame. So then you left-click on Reload Frame, and it will give you the updated version of that because it has been posted, and you really ought to be seeing the empowering statements. If you do get to that, go down towards middle from the Access Consciousness Tools, and I want to go ahead and say 10 times, all of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. Go all the way down to the bottom. And there's two statements down there. They're in italics. My supply comes from God, and big, happy financial surprises come to me effortlessly and easily. Let's say that five times. My supply comes from God. From God, okay, from God, and big, happy financial surprises come to me effortlessly and easily. My supply comes from God, and big, happy financial surprises come to me effortlessly and easily. My supply comes from God, and big, happy financial surprises come to me effortlessly and easily. One more time, my supply comes from God, and big, happy financial surprises come to me effortlessly and easily. And let's do the next one five times. I am the perfect manifestation and expression of joy, abundance, goodness, money, and health automatically in unlimited quantities. I am the perfect manifestation and expression of joy, abundance, goodness, money, and health automatically in unlimited quantities. I am the perfect manifestation and expression of joy, abundance, goodness, money, and health automatically in unlimited quantities. I am the perfect manifestation and expression of joy, abundance, goodness, money, and health automatically in unlimited quantities. I am the perfect manifestation and expression of joy, abundance, goodness, money, and health automatically in unlimited quantities. And let's go back up here to underneath from Access Consciousness Tools. What would it take? Now, it says, what would it take for me to truly receive me, love me, and care for me like the infinite being that I be? Anything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. Now, let me say, that last sentence, in Access Consciousness, every one of those little elements means something about clearing and releasing energy. So let's just trust something that's been in place and really been useful for people for quite some time here. And I'll give you more information on that. The fellow's name is Dane Hare, something like that. What would it take for me to truly receive me, love me, and care for me like the infinite being that I be? Anything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. Two more times. What would it take for me to truly receive me, love me, and care for me like the infinite being that I be? Anything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. One more time. What would it take for me to truly receive me, love me, care for me like the infinite being that I be? Anything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. And then we go down to, where is it? Okay, in the middle, you already know this. How does it get better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get better than this? Four more. How does it get better than this? 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 All right, let that go for a minute. And let's go now to the last thing we'll do tonight, words, laws, and blocks. We've touched upon a lot of these things already, but they are useful now to bring them back because of how they apply to what we're doing. The holistic nature of the I am expressing as you makes everything matter. The interconnectedness and alignment of the chakras ignites mutual exchange, mutual exchange of energetic frequencies so that what occurs in one vibrationally will impact others in profound and pointed ways. The throat chakra is the vehicle of manifestation as it releases through expression the energetics of each chakra, particularly the lower in-body ones. Words spoken are commands to the cosmos to align in like energy and make manifest that which you claim. Thus, it is essential that each learn to monitor and adjust that which is sent forth from the mouth as command. Words have power and they have baggage. They carry the energetic debris of every time they have been spoken. They shower you with all their attachments when you command them to be expressed through your being. Use them at your own risk. The clearer you become, the more likely you will catch the words before they are uttered, eventually moving towards the complete release from them in your vocabulary. It is necessary to identify the most disempowering words and then offer some to use as replacements. Here are the ones, and you know these. It's like George Carlin in the seven cuss words, but we're going to say them here. These are the words that disempower. They include should, can't, try, wait, but, karma, need, hate, lack, bad, bored, right, wrong, better than, germs, disease, sick, any label words, any words of criticism, and hope. So each one of these words has an energetic interrupt that goes on when we call them forth. Even words that don't seem, but karma is the thing. The minute you say karma, what you do is you activate karma. See, we've reached a place and a phase in our own evolution, thanks to the cosmos, where karma and its impact is being diminished and being released, that we move beyond the energetic need for karma because of the level of awareness. But if I keep returning to karma, oh man, it's your karma. And then what I'm going to have to do is keep going back into that cesspool and pull these things forth and attach them to my moments so that I have to work through them. The idea of need puts an undue emphasis on something that really is reflecting how we just want to be taken care of and not being willing to take any action or any power on our own hands. If you're an infant, need is probably a good word. Hate is a word that puts out such a venomous energy that it comes back and eats us alive. Tissue. The idea of lack to even claim it and to even reflect upon it is useless because it calls more of it in. To be bored is a choice, and a bored is an unwilling. To be bored is an unwillingness to find and use the imagination to take action. Bad is just a label that has so many connotations. Even the culture has decided, like, you know, Michael Jackson, because I'm bad, whatever, is we change the meaning of it to the opposite because we're so tired of being worn down by the weight of the word bad. You were a bad boy, but now, oh, I'm so bad, man. I'm so bad because I'm so cool. Crazy. Right, wrong, better than, germs. I don't know. I don't believe in germs. And, you know, I'm sure I'll get a lot of people that want to fight for them and use, you know, Lysol and everything else or Windex, whatever you want to use. But by not being attached to germs, I don't get caught up in the things that create, to create the atmosphere and the environment for things to happen. In other words, lowering the frequency of my own immune system. If I buy into germs, then I'm always expecting something to happen. The whole idea of disease doesn't have to be bought into. The idea of being sick, if I buy into sick, that means I want to be taken care of by somebody and I want a model and I want a comic book and I want my mom to come and give me lots of hugs. That is what I do when I used to get sick, and that's why I used it as such. I don't get sick anymore. Using any label words or words of criticism, they're all invitations to the blues. And the word hope is just a wimpy way of wishing and hoping. Thank you, Dusty Springfield. It's just a way of wanting some external being to come and make things okay for us. And a lot of people just hope, and take no action to make a difference so that the cosmos can actually bring to them the actual thing that they hope for You see how these words are used. Now here's some words in empower. Yes. No. Choose. Empower. Thank you. Grateful for. Understand. Love. Embrace. Imagine. Faith. Celebrate. Responsibility. Integrity. Alignment. Balance. Embrace. Support. Invite. Now. I am. Use these often. I am are the potent words of manifestation calling in the universal energy to bless you with the form of whatever follows them in expression. Be aware. I am a magnificent being. I am sick and tired of this. In both instances, the universe goes as you wish and brings me all the reinforcement necessary to prove my little dance. There are laws that align with the process of manifestation and can be called upon consciously and actively to be used to bring forth your desired intentions. The higher frequencies of God's self are, okay, they are, and it looks like I left off the name of Law 1, and sorry, I'm not remembering it. These are just drawn from a previous session we had, so they are here, and I really invite you to go back and read them and to look at them from the process and the place of manifestation, because this is what determines what comes into our lives. The law of as within, so without, that's the law of attraction. The law of request, that what we ask for, it comes. Ask and I shall receive. Calling my guides, come forth, teacher. We have to ask for help. We have to ask for assistance. It's not just hanging out and waiting for Ed McMahon to bring the check to the door. It really is an active process that we do. We set an intention, then we take action to make it so. The law of resistance, what you resist persists, that's a classic. And if you resist the flow, then what you're going to get is more of the blockage. The law of attachment, that's wherever we put our attention, and if we're attached to the form and holding on to it and don't want to let it go, the universe gives us more of like. The law of love is the seed and the energy that infiltrates the actual vibrational form of anything that we intend. And when we seed it and blast it with the powerful and frequencies of pure love, we increase the opportunity and the possibility that it will make manifest in an oh so much more way. The law of vibration is to know that everything oscillates, and therefore our intention and our capacity to our own energetic ability is to manipulate and mold the vibration into the form that we desire and deserve. Law of abundance, we've looked at the law of balance and polarity, that everything finds that middle ground. The idea of polarity is that in this dimension there are opposites. The middle ground is the place where we get to experience the best of it all. The notion of polarity and duality is fast diminishing in this dimension in terms of its impact, but that's another time. We'll talk about that. Prayer as a capacity to take action rather than being yearning and wishing and hoping kind of energy, or fix this for me, God. Somebody take care of this. Those aren't powerful ways to use prayer. You use it to claim and to appreciate, and mostly in ways of gratitude. The law of purification, in other words, getting things clear and clean, especially your own self. The law of perspective, we're always looking for the higher perspective, the higher view, the bigger picture. That serves manifestation very powerfully. The law of gratitude, we'll be looking at that a whole lot next week. Blessing, whatever you bless, you send good energy to, and that reflects back to you by the universe blessing you and give you reasons to be blessed and to bless. The law of decree relates to the power of your words, and to use them in a way of consciousness is to make manifest and command the forms to show up. It is then your task to go ahead and pay attention and to watch how things show up so often in the subtle realms. And finally, you have the law of grace, that as we step into the frequency and believe and act as if, grace showers upon us as, in a sense, an energetic reward for claiming the truth of our being. It is a reciprocal reaction of a cosmos that cannot be controlled. Use these cosmic laws, affirmations that I pulled directly from that last bit. I don't mean the last bit, the session that we had in group two, in block two. Now, finally, it says, being cognizant of the universal laws is essential to navigating through the earthly life with flow and clarity. They are the foundation upon which the manifestation of the current intention occurs. Conscious application will seriously upgrade the results of your practice. And lastly, the energetic blockages that we carry as a result of interrupting our personal design flow of natural release are significant when it comes to making manifestation work. Damming the energetic flow calls forth lower frequency energies by law, thus deterring us from the original intention. Adopting a strategy of daily as well as in-the-moment release will serve your whole vibration and facilitate an effective manifestation program. It is essential that we move to get clear. This opens the door to the free flow of the never-ending river from heaven to serve us on many levels. You can identify the blockages by a comprehensive awareness that monitors thought patterns, belief applications, resistances, judgments, the outward forms of your life, the kind of people you have in your life, your own physical condition and challenges, your flow with your emotions, your capacity to choose the big picture perspective, and so much more. Observing and noticing the places of physical resistance, especially with the chakras in mind, will reveal to you where the focus must go and action must be taken. Once activated, the energetic blockages can clear rather quickly. It may be love you give, it may be food, it may be money, may be the stuff you've saved. It may be hugs or a moment or a caring word or two or forgiving somebody you hate. It doesn't matter what the form, it's just the giving it away that sends yeses back to heaven, keeps the mighty river flowing, the mighty river flowing, the mighty river flowing. Give in, give out. Give in, give out. So here we are, the end of day two. We've revealed information about the nature of some of the elements that are part of this whole process and this whole session. We've looked at answering questions to begin to set free the debris and the resistance and the blockages that we've carried with us up to this point in time. We've been seeding ourselves with new information through the use of song, through the use of the empowering statements. We have looked at how we can sabotage ourselves, how we use these tools of diminishment to keep ourselves in restricted and constricted forms. This is not a dance for the weak. This is not a dance for those that aren't willing to actually get in and get their feet and their feet muddy and their clothes dirty. We are in the thick of it. And I do know, and I believe with my whole heart, that this work is going to serve us in a sweeping way beyond it that is only beginning to reveal itself. So I really ask you, keep attending to those questions. Make sure somehow before these 3 weeks are over that you get all of those questions answered and you find and dig deep for everything there. And whatever comes up, you allow it to flow. Cry the tears, fling the mud, whatever it takes to move the energy and to allow yourself to stand on the new frequencies and the new awareness and the truths that are showing themselves. It's a good time to let go. It's a good time to clean stuff out, and you're going to hear stuff flying out of my house. Oh, God, it's all, everybody just got scared in here. Oh, no. Sing the songs. Keep putting this. Keep following this element down below here about the assignments. Just keep listening and keep working on the writings. Do all of that. Sing the songs. Look at the lyrics. Start looking for abundance everywhere. There's no rest for the aware. So, I wish you blessings. Thanks for going with it. Thanks for hearing me on all the things that I shared about my personal experiences. None of them were true, of course. Just made up for purpose. Not. Okay. It's a privilege to work with you. It's a privilege to be present. And I wish you and claim for you abundance and prosperity and the capacity to manifest everything that you desire to be truly in the wholeness of who you are and have always been. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. So be well. I'll be online here for about maybe 1 or 2 minutes if you have any comments, questions, etc. Otherwise, I'll get this one out to you right away. And then we'll be back next week for the wrap-up of this particular Block 4, Session 4. Many blessings. Much gratitude. All right, we are done now. Many, many blessings. Thank you so much.